My relationship with my mom has survived through many twists and turns. Etta Beatrice McInnes Willis always held the keys to my heart, but didn't seem to know how to unlock the door. My big sister Sherry and I were usually under my dad's care, thriving on his constant inquiries of, "What do you know?" and our insistence that we knew we loved our daddy. We were the three musketeers, but my mother's presence was always missed. From my earliest remembrances, I longed to have her by my side, listening to the meanderings of my thought-filled mind, stroking my brow amidst some tween tragedy, or warning me that the spots of blood on my panties weren't a sign of impending death, but just an indication of my normal movement into womanhood. My mom, a beautician, owned her own beauty shop and worked during the day, while my dad, a janitorial supervisor, worked third shift. But despite that, I still couldn't wrap my child's mind around the rationale of her constant absences. Even when sales associates at Macy's or other places we frequented would applaud my dad, clearly a widow in their unknowing eyes, on raising his cute little girls alone, I would put my hands on my little hips and inform them that my mom was still around. She was just busy working at the shop. Little did I know back then that the respective roles my parents played were not happenstance, but an orchestrated attempt made by my mom to create a life for me and my sister that really mattered. I remember a picture of her taken at 18. Straight off the farm, her half-smile framed by high cheekbones. Her skin as bronze as a spoonful of sweet molasses, her thick tufts of hair like raw black silk. Her beauty was undaunted by the humble attire worn by Southern girls like her who lived in a state with three eyes that couldn't see. In this black and white photo, she's wearing a checkerboard-designed shirt and overalls, a prelude to the brocade evening dresses and stilettos she would sport a short time later. Even then, you could see the stars in her eyes and her commitment to unearth greener pastures that would harvest her bouquet of dreams. They say that God makes a way out of no way, and soon the opportunity to travel beyond the confines of Jim Crow and farm life came. San Francisco, the city by the bay, would be her new home, a place where she could launch a career as a cosmetologist, entrepreneur, and lover of life. My mom excelled at beauty school, learning the intricacies of the human body and ways to avoid paying the high price that beauty often required. The beauty shop she owned and operated was like a hive of bumblebees, a constant den of activity. From the time she opened her shop in the early 60s, customers from all walks of life frequented her shop, including Dinah Washington, Nancy Wilson, Dionne Warwick, and the infamous and sweet Lady Day and her signature gardenia. In station after station, beauticians would hover over customers draped in plastic snap-behind-the-neck robes, getting a pressing curl, a manicure, and always an earful of mother wit. I love being in the company of those women, hearing the whispers and the "Lord have mercy" that quieted when I entered the room. With reckless abandon, I would quench my thirst with Coca-Colas from the soda machine at the entrance to the beauty shop, putting aside any worries about my leathery dry skin or chubby physique. And day after day, I would witness my mom working up a sweat, combing and brushing, teasing and flipping her customers' hair like a seasoned chef tossing dough at a pizzeria. She was a magician, soothing and smoothing both the hair and the hearts of her customers. Later, she would transform our downstairs basement into a mini beauty salon, and I would spend what seemed like hours hidden behind the door, listening to the travails and "child, please" conversations emerging from the room. She would whisk me upstairs, but not before smoothing my hair back and kissing me squarely on my forehead. Once upstairs, I would gaze at the picture she had painted on the wall of our kitchen, marveling at its beauty as the sun from the skylight cast a shadow on this image of a sidewalk cafe in Gay Paris. When I was 10, we moved to Ocean Avenue, a place where my preteen confusion gave birth to quiet, brooding moods that met its match in my mom's hysterectomy-inspired despair. Much changed from our milk and honey life on Sacramento Street. My sister Sherry and I would move on pins and needles, not knowing what would tip the scale, causing her to go to a place I'm just now realizing exists. But any superficial displays of anger on my part were always tempered by my unwavering adoration for my mom. When my biological clock found me traveling like in a trance to the baby department at Macy's, I didn't think much of the sacrifices my mom had made in the name of love. She had been 25 when she had me, and I would be the same age when I gave birth to my daughter, who has 3 years ago moved into her quarter life. Over the years, Mom and I traveled a landscape of emotions, journeying beyond the geography of our shared past. The road was sometimes bumpy, watered with tears and promises on both of our parts to do better. As a grown adult, I valued her opinion of me and wanted so much for her to be proud. I wanted her to be my constant confidant and comrade in arms, but fear of disappointing her kept me from sharing the longings of my heart. In March, it will be 3 years since she transitioned from this realm. Even at 57, her words of encouragement are still a lullaby to me, a soothing song that inspires me to reach just beyond my fear, where my wings are strengthening and poised to take flight. This is a love song to you, Mount Olive, Mississippi's most beloved daughter. And if you had ever asked me, "What do you know?" I would have gladly revealed, "I know I love my mom."